Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I invite you to turn with me this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 8. And I've titled this message, How Does a Man Preach Christ? This is a vital question that all of us should ask. How does a man preach Christ? And the reason I say that is because we all must know whether or not we are hearing the message of Christ. That's a life and death message. And we all must hear Christ and Him crucified preached. At the end of Acts chapter 7, it ended with all of these religious leaders, men of the church, stoning Stephen to death because he preached Christ in truth. Does that even make sense? That the religious leaders of the church would stone a man for preaching the truth about Christ? Well, that's exactly what happened. Chapter 8, verse 1 says, And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. Why? It's because they were preaching Christ. There was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Saul, whose name is also called Paul, was consenting unto Stephen's death. What that means is he was pleased with it. And he was one of the leaders of religion, and he was pleased with Stephen's death. That's exactly what he wanted to happen. And I want to show you something in Acts chapter 22. This is Paul telling his own story. In Acts chapter 22, verse 4, he said, I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. He said, I persecuted the way that I'm now preaching. I didn't preach this way before. That's what he's saying. But the way that I now preach, the message that I now preach, that's the message I persecuted. Verse 20 says, And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. Can you imagine the guilt and the pain that Paul carried for the rest of his life? The grief and the regret over killing Stephen for Christ's sake, This precious believer, his own brother in Christ, and many other brethren. The guilt he carried, what a thorn in the flesh that would be. Well, back in Acts chapter 8, verse 1 says, Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. There always has been a persecution, and there always will be. There always will be. John chapter 15, verse 19 says, Our Lord said, If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, Therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Now, who is he talking to? He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to his true followers, his believers, his sheep. And he's telling them that they are going to be persecuted for preaching Christ, telling men the truth about Christ. And he said, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If they kept my saying, they wouldn't let it go. And the God who cannot lie said this, if they kept my saying, they're going to keep yours. They won't let it go. Why? Why will God's people suffer persecution? Turn over to Matthew 13 if you have your Bible. Matthew 13, verse 20 says, but he that received the seed into stony places, this is our Lord giving the parable of the sower. He that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. It's because of this word. That's why. It's because of this word. Our Lord said, you go tell people what my word says. And most will be offended. And you will be persecuted. But our Lord said, you must do it. Because some will believe. Some are going to believe. You go tell men and women the truth about Jesus Christ. You go preach Christ to them. And some are going to believe. Over in Galatians chapter 5, verse 11, it says, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, that means a covenant of election, God's favor on a particular people. If I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution for preaching circumcision? If I preach what God said, God told Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you and with your seed. I'm making a covenant with Israel. And the token of that covenant is circumcision. And he says, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Then is the offense of the cross ceased. What he's saying is, this word right here, Christ and him crucified, it offends the flesh. You know, I don't ever want to be offensive. I think about that as I have the opportunity here to preach over the radio, and I don't want to be offensive, not at all. But this word offends man's flesh. It offends my flesh. I'm a man. I'm just a man. And this word offends my flesh. But thank God he conquered my flesh. And I pray that he has conquered your flesh. And what he's telling us in this is, if I don't suffer persecution for this, no man wants to be persecuted, but he's saying, if I don't suffer persecution for this, then that's a pretty good sign that I'm not preaching the Word of God in truth. If God has called any of you to preach, you are going to suffer persecution for preaching this truth. And if you don't have that persecution, then you need to re-examine what you're preaching. He said, this is the evidence. This is the evidence that a man is clearly declaring the cross of Christ. He's going to suffer persecution because of the Word, because of God's true Word. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All. Not just the men who declare it. All. Every sinner who believes on the Christ of Scripture, not the Jesus that men have made up, not the Jesus that most are preaching today, this weak Jesus who wants to do things, but he can't do anything unless you let him do anything. No, we're talking about the God of Scripture, Jesus the Christ. Preach this Christ, preach this particular Jesus, the God of Scripture, and every sinner who believes it and declares it will suffer persecution for it. But here's what our Lord said in Matthew 5. He said, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Really? Exceeding glad over persecution? He said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. What reward is that? Christ Himself. Christ Himself. He said, for so persecuted they, the prophets before you. Every prophet and believer that came before you suffered the same persecution for the true Christ of Scripture. But He said, be exceeding glad when it happens. It's a good sign. It's a very good sign. Well, back over in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 1 says, Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. The Jews were persecuted and threatened to the point of death. They had seen Stephen, and they had seen what they did to Stephen. They stoned him to death, and the saints made great lamentation over him. They wept for him, they sorrowed for him, and they carried him to his burial. But they knew that same persecution was coming to them. So they fled into different parts of the country, different parts of the world. And God used this persecution to scatter the gospel and spread the gospel all over the world. What they meant for evil, what the religious leaders meant for evil, what they were doing to try to eliminate this gospel was the very means that God used to carry it into all the world. And it's always the case. Whatever men try to do against this gospel will only be used for the furtherance of it. When Satan laid it in the hearts of those men to crucify our Lord, that was the very means that God used to seal the victory of salvation. Well, devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now here's what stands out in this text. Verse 4 says, they went everywhere preaching the word. And verse 5 says, Philip preached Christ unto them. Now how does a man preach Christ? How does a man preach the word? And how does a man preach Christ? This is why Stephen died. This is why God's people were persecuted. It's because they were preaching Christ. How does a man preach Christ? And how does a man preach the word? Those two statements answer each other. They answer each other. What is it to preach Christ? It's to preach His word. Word for word. Some men think they're preaching Christ when they're not. They're not preaching His word. Word for word. What is it to preach the word? It's to preach Christ in it. Some men think they're preaching the word when they're not. They're not preaching Christ in it. They're actually preaching man in it. All the focus is on man. All the work is left up to man. The decision is in the hands of man. And therefore all the glory goes to man. That's not preaching Christ. That's not preaching the word. That's not what the word says. To preach Christ is to preach His word with all the focus being on Christ. With all the work being finished by Christ. With all the decision being in the hands of Christ. With all the glory going to the Lord Jesus Christ. We preach a man. We preach a man in the Word. Now, the only way a sinner can preach Christ in the Word is if he has seen Christ in the Word. And the only way he can see Christ in the Word is if Christ reveals Himself to that man through the Word. But once a sinner sees Christ in this Word, if God does reveal Himself, once a sinner sees Christ in this Word, he cannot see anything else. He sees His purpose on every page. He sees His will on every page. He sees His work, not man's work. He sees the work of Christ on every page. And He sees His sovereignty on every page. He sees that Christ is the way. My living right can't do anything for me. I ought to live right. I should live right. My God has commanded me to. But my living right can't do anything for me because it's not perfect. It's not absolutely holy and perfect. Christ is the only one who is holy and perfect. So Christ is the only one who can do anything for me. Once a person sees Christ, he's going to see Christ is the only way. Once a person sees Christ, he's going to see Christ is the truth. Am I preaching the truth? Well, that all depends on whether or not I'm preaching Christ and giving the glory to Christ. My opinion doesn't matter. It doesn't matter one bit. It will do you no good for me to come over your radio on Sunday morning and preach to you my opinion on the Word of God. It will do neither one of us any good. The only message God uses is His Word, the message that He has already given. We preach Christ. We preach the Word. We preach every word Christ has written. We preach Christ in His Word. If a sinner ever sees Christ, he's going to see that Christ is life. Christ is the way. Christ is the truth. Christ is the life. And it's not about heaven anymore. It's about Him. It's all about Christ. To preach Christ is to be taken up with Him. That's what it is. It's to be taken up with His honor. It's to be taken up with His glory. It's to be taken up with His Word. Somebody will come up and say, "Where do you stand on election?" Well, what does our denomination's profession of faith say? Well, that doesn't matter. All right, well, what does tradition pass down to us? Well, that does not matter. Whatever traditions have been passed down, that doesn't matter one bit. What does the Word say about election? That's all that matters. Ephesians 1:4 says, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world." There's our answer. Our Lord said in John 15, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." There's our answer. There's our position. To preach Christ in election is to preach God did all the choosing. God did it. It was His work. It was His decision, and it was all for His glory. That's what the Word says. And once Christ reveals that, we see that on every single page. Every single page. What about predestination? What's our doctrinal position on predestination? What does the Word say? Romans 8 says, "Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." Well, there's our answer. Did God predestinate a people? Ephesians 1 says, "Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." There's our answer. What does the Word say? What about limited atonement? Did Christ die for everybody and then put salvation in each individual person's hands? Is that what He did? Well, what did Christ say in His Word? He said, "I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me out of the world." He said, "I lay down my life for the sheep." He didn't say He did it for the goats. He said He did it for the sheep. He said, "In the last day, I'm going to divide the sheep from the goats." He told those Pharisees, "You believe me not, because you're not of my sheep." He told those religious leaders, "You're not my sheep. You were not chosen. You were not redeemed by the blood of the Lamb." He said, "I'm the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep." For the sheep. Well, what do we think about irresistible grace? Where do we stand on irresistible grace? Some say, "Well, Christ took the first step, now it's up to you to take the second." Are you going to come to Him or not? Are you going to accept His call, or are you going to reject it? The decision is yours. Let me ask you this. Is that true or not? How can we know? What does the word say? He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He said, I will work, and who shall let it? Who is going to stop me? Well, what about perseverance of the saints? Can you lose your salvation or not? Can you? Yes or no? What does the word say? He said, Father, those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. He said, this is the Father's will, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. He said, I will raise him up at the last day. This word gives all the focus to Christ. This word gives all the work to Christ. This word gives all the purpose and will to Christ. And this word gives all the glory to Christ. Acts chapter 8, verse 4 says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. If God causes the true preaching of the word to go forth, if Christ is truly preached, and if God gives a sinner the ability to give heed and hear these things and see these things, this will be the result. This is what will happen to that sinner. God never sends a cause with no effect. Verse 7 says, for unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. We are all by nature unclean, unclean. But when God sends His Holy Spirit into the heart of a sinner, He drives that unclean spirit out. And verse 7 says, many taken with palsies. Palsy means everything's dead. Can't move my arms, they're just dead. This body can't do anything, it's dead. And that's every one of us by nature. We were born into this world dead in our trespasses and sins. But verse 7 says, they that were lame, can't walk. So many people reading this word come to Christ, but they can't. They're lame. But if God moves, and if God causes them to give heed to the word and to Christ, and if He opens their eyes and their ears and their heart, and if He causes them to believe, then that unclean spirit is gone. And they that were dead are now alive. And they that could not come are now running to Christ. They're healed. And that's what verse 8 says. They that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. You know, God's people are the happiest people on this earth. It's because they are settled in the word of Christ. They're settled in the message of Christ. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. There was great joy in that city. And by God's grace, through his word, I pray there will be great joy in this city. May God bless the preaching of Christ and his word.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message, or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.